Welcome inside the Locked On NFL Draft Podcast. John Ledyard and Trevor Sikkema from the Draft Network, lead NFL draft analyst, senior NFL draft analyst there. Somebody said to me the other day, Trevor, they said, what's the difference between senior NFL draft analyst, like you, myself, and Joe Marino and Gal Krabs, and NFL draft analyst, which is what Ben and Brad are? And I said, I think it's obviously looks, right?
Yeah, no, handsome factor, no right. question.
That's why I think
you've got to evolve to be, you know, it's like when you go through your Clooney years, you know, and you start getting the gray hair, but right. it starts to look good. That's like right. a senior analyst and a draft analyst,
right.
you know.
And that's just the difference right now. When Ben and Brad get there in terms of their looks, yeah. they'll be promoted. It's all about yeah. looks.
You'll be able to physically see the wisdom yep. when you look at them.
And that's why people have a hard time, I think, understanding how wise we are on this podcast is because they can't see us. Can't,
you know? Oh, yeah. man.
They don't trust us fully because
not a visual medium. We got to
yeah.
change.
We yeah, that may be in the cards in the near future.
That could be the motto of the video podcast, quote, see the wisdom, end quote.
Oh wow. Actually, yeah, that's pretty good. I could get behind that. I like that. AFC North, we're talking about rookie impacts in each of the divisions in the NFL. What can you expect both in terms of caliber of play and amount of play from the rookies in the 2018 NFL draft class? We're talking about the AFC North today. What team would you like to start with, Trevor?
The
Steelers,
Ravens,
it is.
Because
okay, the Ravens.
Alphabetically.
All right, Baltimore it is. Lamar Jackson. Because we're just going to, let's just skip right over Hayden Hurst.
Does Lamar, oh my gosh, I forgot they drafted Hayden Hurst. Does Lamar Jackson start before week 10?
Yes.
Dun, 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 dun,
yes.
Dun, 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 dun. Really?
Yes, he does.
Wow. All right,
At some point, you can only watch so much of Joe Flacco. And
all right,
I just think Jim Harbaugh's had enough. John Harbaugh's had enough. Jim probably has too, but he has nothing to do with this.
I asked this question without knowing the schedule, and guess when their bye week is? It's week 10, so that's perfect.
So you think he's going to start week 11? Trust Lamar.
You know what? I'm going to say yes, because here's why. The three games going into the bye week are Saints at Panthers, Steelers. If they lose all three of those games, they make the switch.
Well, they're probably going to lose all three.
Then they are primed to make the switch.
But I think they're going to lose before that. I don't even know who they play.
Well, I mean, they open up with the Bills, play the Bengals, Broncos, at Steelers, Browns, Titans, and then get into those three. So, I mean, like, it's an easy-ish schedule there, but I don't really think the Ravens are that good, so.
Very good point. They are not that good. Here's the issue. They're not that good, and there's nothing Joe Flacco is going to do about that. And eventually, Lamar is just going to be so convincing in the fact that he adds an element. The Texans didn't think Deshaun Watson was ready last year. He proved him wrong, but obviously they didn't think he was ready because they started Tom Savage over him, and he had some rough spots in the preseason, if we're being fair.
Sure.
Lamar's not going to be fully ready either. He's going to be behind where Deshaun was when Watson started last year. But he brings an element to this team that Joe Flacco just can't. And Flacco isn't good enough in any other area where Lamar might struggle for there to be a significant difference. So I just think the Ravens are going to sit down at whatever they are, 3-3 to open the season, whatever it looks like. I don't even know who they play, like I said. And they're going to say, are we going to do this again? Are we going to ride to 8-8 again? Or whatever they were last year, an average football team at best. Is that where the direction we're heading? Because, yeah, it helps to get Yonda back. And maybe the receiving core is a tiny bit better, but it's still not good enough. And this still is not a team. Again, you talk about pass rush. At some point, it falls off for Suggs. They need these young guys to step up. Yes, the secondary will be good. Yes, the defense will be good again. Is it going to matter? Is it going to be enough? This is basically the same team, Ravens team, we've seen in the past. There's a couple minor things that may help them out a little bit this year, but the AFC isn't going to be as bad as it was last year, and they still couldn't make the playoffs. I just don't know if they can settle for that again. I don't know if Harbaugh can sit on that and hope for, you know, without doing something drastic, without shaking it up.
I think the problem is, though, is that you So Flacco's 33, and he signed a, I think he signed a 6-year deal. When did he sign that? I can't remember. A couple of years ago. But I know for a fact that he has an out in his contract after 2019. So not this year, but after next year. But if you cut him at any point before this, the dead cap is like astronomical. Mm-hmm. So if you bench him at any point this year, you are also keeping a backup quarterback in 2019 that is going to be $25 million against your cap.
Right. But you've got Lamar for cheap no matter what. So
I don't know if they do that.
But either way, whether he starts or he's a backup, you're paying the same amount. It's just whether you win the games or not, right?
I know, but you know as much as I know that it becomes a mental thing with the guys who spend their money.
True.
It just becomes a mental
thing. They want to have been right.
Would they rather win games than not? Sure. But will it eat the GM, the owner, the cap manager dude alive knowing that they have a backup quarterback that's got $25 million on their books? Probably. Especially a backup quarterback that won them a Super Bowl? I just think it gets really tricky.
And it does, but it'll eat them alive a lot less if they're winning.
I'm with you. Like, Lamar's not a guaranteed thing, though, you know?
Yeah.
Like you said, he's a rookie. He probably won't be ready to start if he's got to start next right. year.
True.
So how – I think the Ravens have to start their season like 2-8 for them to get to Lamar.
So you think he starts week 11 at best?
If Lamar starts, you know – I'm torn because, like you said on the podcast yesterday, there's an impatience to winning, especially in today's NFL, more than there ever has been in NFL history. There's such an impatience when you're not winning and when you have a younger quarterback waiting in the wings, even if they might not be ready. So that element, I think, for sure has to come into play. But because of how much they're paying Flacco and because they don't even have an out for him until 2019, like there's literally no way they can get rid of him. I have to think that if he's going to start meaningful games for them, I guess, quote unquote meaningful, they would have to tank so hard in those first 9 weeks for him to play week 11. But I would say that I wouldn't be shocked if the Ravens are doing terrible. And even if Flacco is, quote unquote, the starting quarterback, you'd see Lamar play like week 16 and 17 just for kicks.
Mm.
But if we're talking about starting around the middle of the season, I truly think the Ravens' record would have to be awful for them to make the switch.
Interesting. I think they're going to get to that breaking point with Joe, and they're just going to say, enough is enough. We've been overpaying you for years, hoping that you'd step up and be the guy you once were. If you aren't, it's time to move on. But we'll see.
I also wonder how quickly coaches and GMs and all that are willing to admit big money mistakes.
Right. It's been a couple of years for Flacco.
I know. I know.
It might be time. We'll see. Do we want to say any words about Hayden Hurst? I mean, I think the tight end they took in the third round, Mark Andrews, is better than their first-round pick.
Hayden Hurst has to start week one.
Yeah, but Andrews is going to play too. I mean, you took two tight ends in the first three rounds. Andrews and Hurst are both going to play a lot. I bet you see a lot of two tight end sets. Nick Boyle's your blocking guy. Max Williams almost definitely getting cut from this team. I don't know.
Low key, my favorite prospects from the Ravens draft, other than Lamar, Kenny Young, Jordan Lasley.
I knew you were going to say Kenny Young.
I'm like, Kenny Young's my boy, man.
Can we just talk about the way that the Ravens draft wide receivers? Like,
no.
I just don't understand it. You are not good at developing them. Stop getting guys who aren't there. I mean, Jaleel Scott is in the fourth round, is nuts. He was terrible in the Senior Bowl. Couldn't catch anything. His tape's not great. He tested poor. Not even a high-ceiling guy, and he's super raw. Like, what are you doing?
Can't teach height, baby.
Lasley is a high-ceiling guy, but again, the drops and the character were a super big concern there. So I agree with you that he's got some polish to him, but highly inconsistent. Highly, highly inconsistent. Real head case at times. Just doesn't seem like the environment. Like, if you're the Steelers, you take chances on those guys. If not...
What a weird final draft for Ozzie.
Not great, in my opinion, but I do agree with you. I think Orlando Brown starts at right tackle. There's not a lot of competition. Austin Howard's gone. Alex Lewis coming off an injury from last year. I don't think he's really a true tackle. So it seems like it's Brown's job to kind of lose right now. So I bet he starts there. I don't think he's great, but I think he's okay. And I think that's probably good enough for what Baltimore likes to do. Again, they're probably going to be throwing out of a lot of heavy personnel looks, so he'll probably have some help. I think Kenny Young has a chance to start next to C.J. Mosley.
I really do.
I mean, look at...
Yeah, there it is.
What was his name?
Kenny Young Hart.
I can't remember the guy's name. Who was the guy that retired early a couple years ago? He was playing really well for Baltimore. I can't remember.
Chris Borland.
Nah, that was San Francisco.
I'm just kidding. Patrick Willis.
Nah, San Francisco.
Navarro Bowman.
I knew you were going to say that. I can't remember his name, but anyway, he was playing really well for Baltimore. He retired. And
Niners fans just turned off the podcast.
Niners fans were like, who is this clown? They haven't really been able to fill that spot since whatever the guy, I can't remember his name, left. And Onwu Sor and Kamal Ikorea has been a total waste. So they just haven't had anybody there. There's nobody really on the roster. I think Kenny Young.
Total waste. Start.
I'm going on the record. I'm going to be bold. I'm saying Kenny Young. Imagine
working your whole life to get to the NFL and some guy on a podcast calls you a total waste.
Yep. Sorry, Kamal Ikorea. I'm saying Kenny Young, Lamar Jackson, Orlando Brown, and Hayden Hurst all end up starting year one for Baltimore. Four rookies in Baltimore starting.
All right.
How about Pittsburgh? Well, sure would prefer if no rookie started, Trevor. Thanks for asking. Since they don't have any good ones.
Oh, my gosh. This is literally your nightmare draft.
It was pretty close, yeah.
This is your nightmare draft.
A bad safety that has a ton of issues the Steelers already have on their roster. The opposite of the type of player they need. And he chose number 34.
Yikes!
I mean, you might as well just cut
him
out.
Oh, no.
Yep.
Oh, no.
Number 34 was what he decided.
Oh, no.
That was a good idea. Well, he could change his number, I think. Terrell Edmonds jersey number. Well, this roster says that Cam Sutton's number 34 too, but that wasn't right. He was number 30. Oh, Stephen Ridley might not make the final roster, so Edmonds may go back to 22.
If you're a secondary player, you've got to respect the aesthetic history, man.
Yes.
You've got to respect it.
Agreed.
You can't be picking 34 out here.
Yeah.
You've got a family to provide for, and you're out here picking 34.
And it's disrespectful to the team that took a major risk drafting you.
Golly, man.
Yeah. It's not a good look for sure. And Jalen Samuels out here choosing number 38. What are these dudes doing? Did they not see what happened with Bud Dupree? Pick number 48, your career dies. It really isn't a lot more complicated than that.
Look, I'm not going to say it's...
I am.
Yeah, I am. The number matters.
Yeah, the number matters. The freaking number matters. Anyway, you're not going to see Mason Rudolph play more than likely unless they cut Landry Jones and he's the number two guy because Ben gets hurt for at least one game every year. You're not going to see Chukwuemo Okorafor play unless somebody gets hurt. So it's going to be a lot of sitting for those guys. Le'Veon Bell's going to play almost every snap. James Conner was good last year. Jalen Samuels, again, not going to see him play unless there's injuries. Maybe a snap here and there. That's about it. The guys you're looking at contributing for the Steelers, honestly, in year one are James Washington is going to be wide receiver 3 here. I think technically they'll probably open the battle between he and Darius Heyward-Bey, but it's already over. If James Washington doesn't win wide receiver 3, the Steelers got major problems with this class because he's the guy I'm actually hoping can at least do that one thing the offense needs him to do, which is get vertical.
Which is catch the ball.
Get vertical and then catch the ball. Okay, two things.
Oh, okay.
Sorry. Two things. But Edmonds and Marcus Allen are the two guys I think we can think about that playing, right? I mean, this isn't a great safety room.
I guess Marcus Allen is going to play, yeah?
Here's what I think could happen. I think the Steelers said, we don't care about linebackers now that Shazier's injuries happened. They said, we don't care about linebackers. They didn't draft one, and their linebackers are one of the worst groups in the league. And they said, we're going to roll with Vince Williams and John Bostic on early downs, and then we're going to freely run three safety packages. They've talked about doing it the last couple of years. They've tried to find the right players to do it, haven't been able to do it. I bet you see Vince Williams on the field and like zone hook coverage type of deal, and then you see three safeties a lot on the field. I think you see Terrell Edmonds probably playing some free safety. They said Morgan Burnett's going to start the season
like in a
free
big
safety.
Nickel style where one of them's playing man up.
Okay. Yep, probably something like that. Probably, honestly, a dime defense. But if you watch Marcus Allen in college, and the reason why I like this pick as a fifth rounder is if the Steelers are going to do this and they're not going to take linebackers, Marcus Allen is built like a linebacker, plays like a linebacker, instinctive and a great tackler. I think he's going to be very good against the run. He's just so limited everywhere else that he's such a niche player. So,
no, that's a good point. That's a good point.
It's
they could salvage.
The right
they could salvage what's the best out of Marcus Allen, and I think the reason why people are long-time listeners to the podcast, why we were so hard on him as a safety is because in coverage, Allen had no instincts on the ball. He didn't plan for where it was going to be. He was nowhere near the ball or close to making takeaways, which is important when you're playing as a back-end guy, especially when you're talking about drafting a safety high, his potential to play single high, to play cover one, to play cover three. But he could tackle. He got a crap ton of tackles.
Yeah,
and
he's a big dude. He's 6'2", 215. He could easily get to 220.
He played so far back in his tape that he never even made an impact on the ball, which is bad as a safety, fine as a linebacker. So you might be right. If they play him right, he could be fine for him.
And I'm curious how it all works out because I thought when they drafted him, I was like, he's going to play linebacker for Pittsburgh, essentially. He's going to do a ton of what they wanted Chase Deere to do. And I was really intrigued by that, but they haven't said anything about that, really. So now I'm kind of concerned that it won't be the case. But either way, you're going to have Morgan Burnett playing a lot of that role anyway. So it's, you know, either way, you're going to have one linebacker on the field a lot of the time, I think, in Pittsburgh. I think you're not sure what you do with Davis. You know, that's why when they said Morgan Burnett was going to play free safety, I was like, what? Like, why? Like, I mean, I know Sean Davis isn't going to be good at free safety, but you got to play Edmonds at free safety. You got to play Sean Davis in the box and Morgan Burnett as a big nickel or something like that. I mean, it doesn't work, man. Like, you can't – Morgan Burnett's not a free safety. He hasn't played free safety for ages. So, yeah. I don't know. I mean, it just seems like if you're looking for a – the reason they got rid of Mike Mitchell wasn't because Mitchell made mistakes. It was because they needed a playmaker. They needed somebody who would make plays on the ball. I mean, at this point, I don't think that guy's Davis. I know it's not Burnett, at least not in single high. I mean, you drafted Edmonds in the first round, dudes, during your Super Bowl window. If you don't think he's ready, I don't think he's ready to play. But if they don't think he's ready to play, they're freaking crazy. Like, why would you take that guy to be your third safety or your fourth safety? So
couldn't be my team.
Yeah, well, it wasn't your team this year. It was my team, and I'm still very salty about it. But I do think we'll see a good bit of Edmonds and Allen on the field, even though I'm not sure how the four safeties work itself out. But eventually, honestly, because they're probably going to give Edmonds the benefit of the doubt, I could see Sean Davis getting benched because he just wasn't very good last year. And, you know, you draft two safeties and you bring Burnett in, you got to be pushing him at least. And how he responds to that is going to be everything. So, interesting situation in Pittsburgh with safety group. I mean, basically overhauled, right? Edmonds, Burnett, Allen.
Well, yeah,
all come
if you draft two, then
right?
Yeah.
And Nat Bury.
It's basically an overhaul if you draft two.
Nat Bury comes over from the Giants. I mean, there are five safeties that will make this roster. Four of them will be brand new.
Yeah.
To the Steelers.
Yeah.
So,
Cincinnati? You want to do Cincinnati?
Yes.
Next?
Speaking of safeties, how soon do we feel like Jesse Bates plays? Because I think he might start week one. The Bengals drafted Jesse Bates because Reggie Nelson had all those interceptions a couple years ago. They let him go, and obviously he fell off, so it was the right move. But at the same time, the Bengals have gotten no playmaking from Aloka or Sean Williams. None. They
Who
don't have any playmaking back there. They probably move Iloka up and play Bates as a free safety. And remember, it's a different defense here. This is Terrell Austin. He comes over from Detroit. This isn't Paul Gunther. He's not going to play as much too high. He's going to play a lot more single high like he did with Glover Quinn. And I think he sees Jesse Bates as that future Glover Quinn. I bet he plays a lot of free safety. And Iloka is the guy that probably moves up and plays more strong safety role. And Sean Williams is your third safety. Bates starts.
I think Iloka is still going to start. So I would say that.
Oh, yeah. Bates and Iloka are going to start, I think.
Yeah.
But the Bengals have played a ton of cover two over the last couple of years.
Who has played? The Bengals?
The Bengals, yeah. And that's kind of Paul Gunther's way. But now I think that's going to change. I think you're going to see
Somebody was showing some William Jackson. I think it was Michael Kist. I was looking at his timeline, and he was doing like some William Jackson the third stuff. That dude's good.
Yeah, he's freaking good. I mean, this could be one of the best secondaries in the league if Bates is ready to ball. But they need a playmaker on the back end. You got to give this offense some short fields. That was one of the big reasons why they were good when Nelson was there and had that 9-pick season. They just haven't been able to replicate that. I think Bates is going to be that guy. You know, his coach has raved about him in college.
Yeah, he's an instinctive dude, too.
And he could be on the Steelers. Could be, but isn't. Malik Jefferson, not going to start. Andrew Brown, not going to start. Sam Hubbard, yes. Sam Hubbard's not starting, but he's going to get your inside pass rush reps that Chris Smith got when he was here. Chris Smith got a lot of those nickel inside where they took Billings
off the
field.
What position – here's a question for you. What position do you think Sam Hubbard ends 2018 having played the most snaps at?
Oh, most snaps?
Like 3-tech, 4-eye, 5, wider. What do you think?
I'm going to say
You were about to say 3, weren't you?
I was. But here's my concern with saying 3. Michael Johnson has been an inside rush guy, and Chris Smith was. Chris Smith's gone. So Michael Johnson, it was assumed, would take base end early on.
Yep.
And then step inside. But if you don't play Carl Lawson in the starting lineup, you're stupid. If you don't play Carlos Dunlap in the starting lineup, you're stupid. And neither of those guys are going inside. So I think Lawson and Dunlap will play a lot on the outside, which means Johnson and Hubbard will probably be the inside rotation. Don't forget about Jordan Willis. I don't know where he fits into all this. Michael Johnson might get cut.
He's not
I don't know
good.
What his cap hit is, but yeah, he's not good, and he gives you a couple moments every year, and I know they like to do some things in coverage with him that because he does run well, but...
Hold on. I just wrote about this last night, but I forgot the sack total, so hold on. Okay, so in 2014, coming off a 3.5 sack season, mind you, the Bucks paid Michael Johnson a 4-year... I think something around a $30 million deal. He got 4 sacks with the Buccaneers, and they cut him the next year. And then the Bengals immediately signed him back to a 4-year. How does he keep making money?
What did the Bengals pay him?
4 years, $20 million. So like less, but.
Gosh. Still paying him $5 million a year to do nothing. So he's still on that contract then?
Can they
cut him and get out of that contract? That's
Hold,
what we
please.
Gotta find out.
Hold,
this,
please.
This will determine my answer for how I feel about Samuel Hubbard.
Looking up contracts.
Because if Sam Hubbard's gonna play, he's ready to play. It's just a matter of
All right,
of
are you ready?
Ready?
Are you ready?
Ready.
They can cut him
like it's nobody's business.
For just $1.1 million of dead cap.
Oh, yeah. He's gone. See ya. And they save how much? But
$6 million.
Yeah. Bye-bye. Bye-bye, buddy. He's gone. Lawson and Dunlap
Wait a
are
second.
Starting on the
they
edge.
Had a. He has an out right now. But that date must have passed, right?
It passed, yeah.
Yeah, how did they not cut him?
I don't know. Like,
what?
Or was it his option to get out? And he said, nah, I'm going to take my chances. Well, you took your chances, buddy.
Why
you
would
gone.
You give someone a? Why would you give a 30-year-old a player option in 2018
Good
after
point.
A 4-year deal?
Good point. They should have let him go. They didn't know Sam Hubbard was going to fall in their lap, and now he's going to be
Johnson
gone.
Johnson finessing out here. What
Man,
a role model.
If we don't talk about that enough, that he's finessed his way into some nice cheese for doing nothing in the NFL. How old is he?
Serious cheese.
Dude's like 30-something. Well
He's
done,
31 now.
Well done, my man. Set for life. Either way, man, and he's played out 3 years of that deal. So at this point, it didn't even matter what the guaranteed money was. He got paid.
Whew, crazy. Dude, he's made $45 million in his career.
And what's his best season?
He's had more than 6 sacks once.
Oh, my gosh. I did not remember him finessing it this well. What a man of the people.
Wow, you know what? I'm changing my tune. We got to get Michael Johnson on the pod. Financial.
I want to know how he got 11 and a half sacks that one year. Like, were quarterbacks falling down?
I don't know.
He was playing two-hand touch. I mean,
and he had an interception that year.
Dude has 44 career sacks. A sack for every mil that he's made.
I was going to say he's getting paid $1 million a sack right now.
Jeez.
All right. So anyway,
fleeced a number of people. So anyway, Michael Johnson getting cut. Sorry, your finessing ways are over. Dunlap and Lawson play on the inside. Willis rotates outside with them, and Hubbard plays a lot of those inside snaps. He is finishing the season with the most snaps at three tech. So I'm going to say they don't have a lot of great interior defensive line play, especially for passing downs. Your boy Chris Baker's here. I know you think pretty highly of that move, but
for sure.
I don't think Malik Jefferson really plays a whole lot.
No, I think
Preston Brown in. You think he does? Oh, well, Burfict's getting suspended. I forgot. And he'll probably get suspended again in the season. So, yeah, he probably will start.
Right.
He'll probably start like 8 games. Because they don't – well, no. Here's what I think actually is going to happen. I think Nick Vigil and Preston Brown and Jordan Evans are going to start week one. And I think Jefferson might play here and there. But I don't think he plays. I think he plays very sparingly as a rookie. They've got better depth than people think. And I think that you're not going to see much of Andrew Brown. You're not going to see much of Darius Phillips. Who else they Oh, Billy Price changes the game for them, right?
Yeah.
They've needed a center for ages. Big move for them. That offensive line's coming back. If Cordy Glenn stays healthy and Billy Price can make an impact as a rookie, I know that's two ifs I threw at you, but I don't know. That's a lot better than last year, man. Like, take those names out and put Cedric Abuya
on tape making the team
there. Oh, yeah. I think he will. I think he will make this team. It'll be A.J. Green, John Ross, Tyler Boyd, Josh Malone, and Auden Tate, and Brandon LaFell's kicking rocks. There's my take for the day. I don't even know if that's hot.
Love it.
Love Browns, it. How soon does Baker Mayfield unseat Tyrod Taylor?
Week one.
Go. You don't even week think one. Tyrod makes it to week one.
No.
Jeez.
No, you know what? The Browns coaching staff is stupid. So Tyrod is going to open up the season as a starter. Hold on, let me.
It's a dumb coaching staff, and they've really gone out of their way tripping over themselves to talk about how Tyrod Taylor is the greatest quarterback of all time.
Bro, like, I am a big Tyrod Taylor stan. Okay.
Like, where would you rank him in NFL quarterbacks?
But start Mayfield week one.
So where would you rank Tyrod?
Hold on. I'm looking at the schedule now.
I know that's
now.
A tough question to answer.
All right, maybe I take it back.
Who do they play?
They open up. They host the Steelers.
Oh, boy.
Then they go to New Orleans.
Okay. Lord help them.
And then they've got Jets at home, at the Raiders, Ravens at home, Chargers at home, at the Bucks, at the Steelers.
If they start 0-2. Is it enough? Because they're going to win week three.
If man, I think they are going to start 0-2.
Yes.
And if you don't make the switch for week three,
they're going to win week three.
Oh no! But week three is a Thursday night game.
Yep. So they're not making that switch.
And then week four, it's a longer week, but they travel across the country.
Well, if they start 0-3, Baker's starting. But I think they're going to win week. Three. I think it's week five or six. I don't know. He should start week one. I just don't trust the staff at all. No. Rosen and Mayfield should start week one. There's no doubt about it in my mind.
Yeah, but that's not happening.
Rosen has a chance at it.
Who do you think has a better chance of starting week one?
Probably Rosen, right? I mean, I don't
think
know.
It's Mayfield. Really?
Oh my gosh, they've talked up Tyrod Taylor so much. Maybe they're just BSing, but even after they got Mayfield, they're just like, Tyrod Taylor's amazing. Tyrod Taylor's not a top 20 quarterback in the NFL. Go ahead and sit down and write him out. He's not. And Baker is going to be.
Well, duh.
So why wait? Why wait? Nick Chubb's going to start. He's going to have 1,000 yards rushing. Well, yes, he's going to have 1,000 yards rushing. Hyde's going to get hurt. Chubb's going to be the guy. Duke doesn't get carries in Hugh Jackson's offense. Duke's going to be a slot receiver. Corbett is going to start as well, eventually. Not week one, but he's going to start. Probably at left tackle, and it's probably not going to be pretty, but I don't know why they're playing him at tackle. It's dumb. What else? Corbett could play center for this team, and that was where I would love to see him. Callaway is going to make the team.
Yes. He's going to be their starting punt and kick returner, too. So. Yeah,
he'll be wide receiver four, and then as Coleman struggles or somebody gets hurt, he's going to eventually get some playing time. Denzel Ward starts every game, one of their leaders in snaps.
Yeah, no question. Who's opposite him?
Oh boy. Are you prepared? Here's their other corners, dude. You ready?
Okay.
EJ Gaines, Travis Carey, Brian Body Calhoun, and Terrence Mitchell. That's why they drafted Denzel Ward.
Yeah, that's why they drafted Denzel Ward.
That's it, right? Man. There. He's gonna probably he's never gonna come off the field, I bet. Unless he gets hurt.
He's their CB1.
For sure. And then Chad Thomas is going to play a lot as a nickel pass rusher because he's better than Carl Nassib, even though he's not that great. And they don't have interior players. Trevon Coley and Jamie Meter are both just early down run stuffers.
Ooh, what's the depth chart look like around Jannard Avery?
Because
I like bad. Avery. Good. I liked Avery's tape, man.
I did too, but good luck because it's Jamie Collins, Joe Schobert, Christian Kirksey, and Michael Kendricks.
Oh, man.
This is going to be a tough four to crack.
Yeah.
All right. We'll rule it out completely, but
he's probably not getting a lot of playing time next year.
Year two? Year two, I definitely, we're talking about. Because Jamie Collins, I think he's going to be on his way out after
this thought year. Avery was definitely a sleeper of mine.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
As an edge player.
Yep. As an edge player, I really liked him. I knew the NFL wasn't going to even give him a shot there, sadly. Hopefully he gets some reps there. We'll see. It'll be fun.
No, I think they'll be creative enough.
I hope so. I hope Greg Williams is creative, but I have my doubts. So there you go. I think most of the Browns rookies are going to play, and they're going to play a lot. And I think they're going to play well.
As you would expect from a team that picked number one overall.
Correct.
And number four.
Good point. Tomorrow, AFC South?
Yes.
We head south tomorrow for the AFC. Talk about the Colts, Jags, Texans, and the Titans. What you can expect from their 2018 rookies. Oh, wait, we're doing a pod tomorrow? It's 4th of July. Decision time.
Did we say that we weren't going to do one?
We haven't said anything. Do the people want pod with their fireworks or no pod?
Are you going to leave it up to them?
Maybe we'll make a poll.
Okay. Well, I mean, like, people are obviously going to do yes, so you have to put like some stipulation in there.
That's true. Well, you really think people like us, huh?
Well, I think that people just want to selfishly watch us work while they have the day off.
Yeah, that's probably true. Unbelievable. Well,
can I do the pod with a Bud Heavy in hand?
Oh yeah, for sure. I expected that.
Oh, okay.
I actually expected you to be completely inebriated for the pod. So, don't let me down.
All right, you know, maybe we do it tomorrow night instead and
oh boy. Tomorrow night. I don't know if the people are ready for that. There's a rating I have to put on each podcast. I'm going to have to change our typical clean rating, perhaps, if we do it tomorrow night, depending on how you're doing over there. But, yeah. All right, we'll give the people a pod. We'll give the people what they want. Until then, keep it locked right here. Locked On NFL Draft.